The information about terror plots in New York, Newark, and Washington is extraordinarily detailed. That intelligence, and how it was gathered, also reveals a great deal about al-Qaeda's current tactics and capabilities. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports.
It's extremely rare to have such detailed intelligence on targets, even rarer for government officials to share those details with the public. Today at the White House, reporters asked President Bush whether making so much information public risked tipping off terrorists and causing them to switch to different targets. The president replied, "We have an obligation to tell people what we know."
By sharing intelligence, we can better prepare in case something were to happen. In other words, if we were just silent on the subject, I think people would be a lot more nervous.
From the precautions being taken, buffer zones around the perimeters of buildings, restrictions on underground parking, it's clear that what officials are most worried about is a plain, old-fashioned car or truck bomb. In a way, it's the relatively unimaginative nature of the plans that's interesting. Despite U.S. officials' worst fears, the plots against the World Bank, the New York Stock Exchange, and the three other finance centers don't appear to involve chemical or nuclear weapons. And they're nowhere near as ambitious as the simultaneous hijackings of September 11th. But Bruce Hoffman, a terrorism expert at the RAND Corporation, says they are similar to September 11th in involving financial targets. He notes that al-Qaeda websites often describe the greatest victory achieved on 9/11 as the economic damage inflicted on the U.S. And he says al-Qaeda's continuing focus on hurting the U.S. economy is worrying.
With all the damage that's been inflicted on al-Qaeda since 9/11, with all of the progress that has been made in the war against terrorism, what we see is a movement that is sticking to its modus operandi. It hasn't changed at all. In essence, it's showing itself to be remarkably resilient, remarkably formidable, and especially very determined to carry on and continue this struggle, and to do so just as they would have done it before 9/11.
Intelligence officials aren't saying how recent al-Qaeda's surveillance missions were. The scouting was apparently happening both before and after 9/11, but whether that means last week or last year isn't clear. Matthew Levitt is a former FBI counterterrorism analyst. He says the plots confirm the continuing presence of al-Qaeda operatives inside the United States.
Perhaps most alarming isn't that such plots are ongoing, because in the back of our minds we know that, but rather that there are still, it appears, depending on the timing of this threat information, elements within the United States who may not be known to the authorities who are engaging in this kind of surveillance.
Another alarming aspect of the intelligence information is where it came from. Several weeks ago, an al-Qaeda operative named Mohammad Naeem Noor Khan was captured in Pakistan. He's said to be a communications expert in his early 20s. Intelligence officials say it was in large part his detention and the information he's provided about surveillance of U.S. financial institutions that prompted yesterday's terror alert. Matthew Levitt argues that that demonstrates the limits of U.S. counterterrorist achievements.
We thought that we decimated the command control infrastructure in Afghanistan, and we did. But it now appears that there was at least one such communications node in Pakistan that was still calling some shots.
U.S. officials aren't saying how far along the plots against the financial centers were. Even if they were active, they may have been nowhere near to being executed. Bruce Hoffman notes another trademark of al-Qaeda operations: detailed, meticulous planning that can go on for years. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.